The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast. Happy Tuesday. And speaking of girls that I'll always choose, it's Jax. Hi.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
I'm trying to change it up. Keep it fresh, you know?
I didn't know how you could be speaking of me when speaking of Tuesday.
Because I always choose you.
That's so beautiful, Turdy. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
How's Turdy doing?
Such a good question. I'm doing good. It's fucking snowing / raining.
That's exciting.
So I'm wearing me snow boots.
Turdy, it's a chilly day.
It actually had chilly last night. Actually, something kind of crazy happened to me.
What?
So I heated up some leftover chili. It was in this Tupperware. I put the Tupperware in the microwave, like I've done millions of times. I go, wash my face. I get the Tupperware back. I'm eating in bed. And I get in bed and I put the Tupperware on my lap. And then my lap, feels really hot. So I'm like, oh, man, that's weird. I must have, heated it really hard. Literally, the entire bottom of the Tupperware had melted. The chili was all over my lap. I guess, I left it in the microwave for too long.
Or just that Tupperware was on its last leg. Maybe.
It was new.
Maybe it's the brand.
Ziploc? That's a brand you could trust.
I don't know.
Or can you?
I don't know if you're supposed to heat Tupperware now, knowing what we know.
About
what? Plastics.
One thing about me is I will never remember what can and can't go in the microwave.
Yeah, but what I've learned recently is that plastic shouldn't get really hot because it could get into your stuff. So just
I definitely ate some plastic.
Transfer to a bowl.
Oh, so much work. Might as well just order in, you know?
Yeah, but not when you have chili on a chilly day.
I know, it was actually really nice. Ben is away for work, and the night before he left, he made a pot of chili and left it in the fridge for me. So I've had chili two nights in a row.
That's a good husband.
Yeah, but then I had to throw it out last night, the whole thing, because there was plastic in it.
That's your fault.
Yeah, no, I'm not blaming Ben. I want to, but I won't.
But you really can't. He literally went away for work, so he left you a fridge full of chili. He's a homemaker.
No, it was so thoughtful. We had chili the night before he left. And there was so it wasn't he just made it for me, meal prep. But I like to think there was some thought there, you know?
Even though knowing Ben, there was no thought there. He just wanted chili and happened to be leaving the next day. When you say it the way that you said it, he's leaving town. He made a chili the night before and left it for me in the fridge. Husband of the year.
No, I'm romanticizing my life.
And when you add on top of that, he's leaving town. A snowstorm is coming. So he made a chili the night before and left it for me in the fridge.
It's a Hallmark movie in the making.
Turdy is living in The Notebook.
I'm living in The Notebook, 100%. It didn't really go down like that, but pretend.
We can dream and we can give Ben a little credit today.
It's so important to romanticize your life.
We're actually giving Ben a lot of credit today.
I know.
Because the good guys are in the press.
Oh, well, also, did you watch the episode yet?
No, I've seen bits and pieces, and then I was going through stories this morning, and organically, I clicked a titillating headline about Hillary Duff.
Yeah, so yesterday, the episode with Hillary Duff aired on The Good Guys. They recorded it a week or two ago. I watched the whole thing. I was entranced. I have so many thoughts on Hillary Duff. And I feel up until this point, my one interaction with Hillary Duff was my famous story in Atlantis when I was being a freak following her around the casino and she was get away from me. But my God, she is so normal. And I guess I didn't really, I've never sat down and thought like about Hilary Duff's career at a glance, but she's really been at this for so long. Like Lizzie McGuire, another Cinderella story.
Cadet Kelly.
Like she has so many different eras and she's still now How I Met Your Father, like at the top of her game. And just to hear her be so normal was so, and she said like, I know that like I'm very normal and I know that people actually still like me, which I'm really grateful for. And she was like, I feel like so much of who I am and like I credit it just to my family. Like I grew up in a really normal house. And even when I started making a lot of money as a kid and like literally paying the family bills, like I never got special treatment. Like I did my chores like everyone else. Like it didn't tip the balance of the house and I still like really grew up a normal kid. And of course she like had some demons that she spoke about, but I also really respected how like, you know, her and Josh were close, so they were like talking and they would maybe get to a subject that she wasn't comfortable with. And she was so mature about just like setting a personal boundary. She was like, it came up that she was divorced and Josh was like, what was that like to go through like a divorce very publicly? And she was like, you know, I'm really not going to get into that, but like it was hard. She was just like really healthy. Like she just seemed so, I don't, normal's not even the right word because she was like above normal. She seemed like mentally healthy.
Enlightened.
Yeah, it was really an amazing interview. And it was also really funny. You know, Josh and Ben are so funny. And I think like Hillary was like, what is going on? And of course, they ended up talking about food like the whole time.
Of course.
But Hillary's a foodie.
That's really cool. It's nice to know that it's possible to be a child star, to be in the industry, to be so successful and to come out the other side, like, you know, in a very normal way.
Positive.
Yeah.
I mean, she's definitely a rarity.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it was a really good interview. So if you like Hillary now, you liked her then, like, I think you'll learn a lot. And Ben also asked, like, a question. Like, I know what I would ask if I sat down with Hilary Duff. But Ben was, like, asking, like, different questions. And I was so glad he did because I totally forgot about her music career. And he was like, your music career was, like, so... And for Ben to know it, like, it really was so big. He was like, Coming Clean is my favorite song. And he was like, would you do that again? And she was like... I love music and I loved that time, but I think she found like going on tour and performing like to be really isolating and really lonely. And she got married and had a kid right after that. Like it was like a response to this like difficult time for her. But I was so glad he asked that. But I also like Ben would never know to ask this, but I really wanted him to ask her if she still makes residuals from Laguna Beach.
Just the theme song?
The theme song, because it's like now the show got bought by Netflix, like it's like having this resurgence. I've seen everyone watching it and like it's reaching a younger demo. How does it work when your song is the theme song to a show like that?
I feel like it would be a one-time payment sort of thing.
You think?
Kind of like per season. Not, yeah. You know, you're not like a cast member who gets residuals when it gets picked up. That's what I would think, but I know nothing.
Me neither. So I was really impressed by like Ben's pop culture knowledge because he's not when well compared to us, like that's my level. It was such a good interview. And now they're uploading their episodes in full video on YouTube, on Josh Peck's YouTube channel. So I watched it. It was so enjoyable.
Well, we're going to talk about the episode in the Fast Five Stories because they're making news. The good guys they're are making news. They're newsmakers.
I'm so proud of them.
A little more credit to Ben because we still have Pink Lemonade.
Yes.
On spritsociety.com/TSC. Everyone's talking about Pink Lemonade.
Let me tell you how impressed I was with like the Skinny Confidential community yesterday. Like they bought the shit out of this. Like they are diehard. And I feel like whatever Lauren like kind of gives her stamp of approval on, because she's very wellness focused. She doesn't put crap in her body.
Crap.
Unlike me. She does give a rip and I don't give a rip.
Yeah, but like she doesn't put crap in her body. You do. But you guys can both agree on Spritz Society.
Venn diagram.
Society is in the middle because it's tasty enough for you and it's healthy enough for Lauren.
It's tasty as fuck, 6.5% ABV, spritsociety.com/TSC. It's pink lemonade. You can get 2 4-packs. It's some good shit.
And it's limited edition, so it's not going to be around
forever. Oh, yeah.
It's not it's kind of just like a distant cousin that's visiting the rest of the family, but it's not like joining the family and moving in.
No, it's like it's giving Eugenie.
It's giving like foreign exchange student here for a semester.
Did you ever have a foreign exchange student in your grade or anything?
I feel like I can't think of one, but I feel like that was something that happened sometimes, but I can't think of them. So I'm going to have to say no.
I had one in the 8th grade. He came for a year from Israel and he was really cute. And like, I definitely had a crush on him. And I literally remember this so vividly. in the eighth grade, we were in lab, and he literally sent me a note. I guess he like heard I had a crush on him, and he like sent me a note that was like flirty, and it was so gross. Like, it was just like, it gave the ick immediately. I don't think I ever spoke to him again.
You know who would never do that? Maverick.
Maverick. Yeah, I agree.
And to go from Maverick in the seventh to this gross exchange student.
No, but he was not gross. He was really handsome, and like everyone really liked him. But I don't know, like he said this like flirty thing, and he like looked it over and like gave me a weird look. I was like, I never want to see this person again.
No, now you need to explain. How is it gross? Like,
I don't remember
how he like sent you a flirty note and Turdy goes running scared.
I don't remember why it was icky, but I think that was the first time I ever got the ick. Like, and maybe that's why I think that's why I remember it. Cause it was like either something he wrote or like the way he passed it or the way he looked, but I was just like, ick, goodbye.
But I feel like
I don't think I ever spoke to him again.
When you have a crush, objectively, so many things that they do in their day-to-day life, cause they're like, you know, a 13-year-old boy are icky, but you just see everything as like so sick that they're doing.
Yeah, no, that's so true. That's also just like the lens of being young.
So maybe you were just not that into him.
But it wasn't meant to be me and the foreign exchange student. It wasn't.
No, because like you're not good at long distance.
No, no.
How would you have kept that up?
I don't know. Maybe I'd be living in Israel right now. I would have made Aliyah.
You and all your typos over WhatsApp? Oh, never.
No. And I do not fuck with WhatsApp. I find it so to be so fucking annoying. And for some reason, my group chat with my friends from high school is on WhatsApp. I don't know why. I think maybe at one point, like not everyone had an iPhone. Like we've had the chat for like 10 years. So I don't know why the fuck it is WhatsApp, but like we've just stayed there. I literally never answer it and I never check it. It's so fucking annoying.
I don't even have WhatsApp.
But it was popping off yesterday because everyone was listening to Ben on Skinny Confidential.
Oh.
And my friends like really like podcasts, but they obviously don't know like to the extent freaky level that we know everything about everyone. And they were like, wait, the Bostics own Dear Media? I'm like, yes.
Yeah, that's a lot to process.
If you don't know, but you know Dear Media and you know the Bostics.
Yeah, and you know Spritz and now Lauren and you know Skinny Confidential. It's a lot.
Yeah, no. So the chat was popping off yesterday. So I spent a lot of time on WhatsApp yesterday, much to my chagrin.
Speaking of your friends, I was wondering what's going on with your book club and if you've read Midnight Library yet.
Okay, so we like dropped the ball in picking a new book. But I did just start reading The Midnight Library.
Okay.
I made it 13%. Spoiler alert. She just died. And now I realize I'm just going to like go back and have to like live her life 1500 different ways, you know, because she's reading the book. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't bring myself to keep reading. I got to 13% like a month ago when I left your house. I read it on the way home and I never picked it up again.
Oh, wow.
But I plan to finish it, even though people have told me like I won't like it and it's really repetitive. But yesterday I did crack open my Kindle to read Lucy Score's sequel to Things We Never Got Over, Things in Which We Hide from the Light.
Things in Which We Hide from the Light that we can only see in the dark when it is no longer light in which we're hiding.
And it's cute. It's not even close to as good as Things We Never Got Over. And to be honest, I was like disappointed when I found out who the romantic interest was going to be. Like it wasn't a new girl. It was a girl from the previous book. And I like didn't even like remember her. But it's good. It's cute. Like honestly, okay, I feel like this is going to be a relatable statement, like not to you, but to people who like to read spicy books. I started the book at like 8:30 and by 11:30, like they hadn't fucked yet. And I'm like, bitch, it's my motherfucking bedtime. Like, and there was a couple scenes. I'm like, oh, he asked her to spend the night because he was feeling sad. Like, okay, this is it. I'll go to bed right after this. Nope. Next day, they're at this dinner party. Things are getting hot and heavy. He corners her. Nope. I went to bed. My sleep takes priority, but it's like, bitch, just fuck already.
Yeah, that's that's tough. It's really annoying. She's trying to like build it up, like, you know.
No, for sure. And by the way, I'm only 30% in. And I would say most romance books do not let the people start fucking until 50%. And then 50 to 75, it's fucking.
Yeah,
fucking.
Because like
75%, some drama happens where they can't see one another. By 100%, they get back together.
Yeah. Oh, there's always the lull. That's
yeah.
That's always corny. It's like you know that it's coming, like something bad. Someone needs to shake that up. I like.
No, it's when like she's been keeping him or her have been keeping a secret the whole time, and at 75%, they're guilty the whole time. 75%, they find out what the secret is, and then the other person's mad for like a week.
I like a book like it doesn't happen often where like the bad thing that you're expecting happens at like 40%. Then they work through it and they're back together by like 60, 70. And then there's like a larger thing that they have to get through together.
Yeah,
to take
us
to 100.
It needs to be shaken up. Shake up Chicago for sure.
Yeah, you've got to shake it up sometimes. But speaking of books, we recorded The Redheads last night.
I heard it was, I heard the redhead community is not ready for this episode. No, that's what I heard.
This episode, it was so long. It's going to stay pretty long. I'll just cut out, you know, anything I can. But we didn't wind up having like the same conversation over and over again. There was so much to talk about. Like, it's really philosophical. Like, we get into just like, obviously the meaning of life, because that's very congruent with the message of the book. Religion, COVID, like just all the different ways that this book could be analogous to real life. It was really crazy. So I'm really excited for everyone to listen to it. It drops on Thursday. And this, I think, is one of our most buzzy books ever. I've never gotten so many questions to my email about the book. And so I think it's going to be a really great episode that you guys are going to enjoy. So Thursday, it's never too late to become a redhead. And if you're not a redhead, start with this book, because it by 5%, you're in the book.
That's nice.
It brings you right in.
That's nice. I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was talking to Lauren Elizabeth yesterday about how, like, I've been in such a reading lull. Like, I feel repelled by my Kindle. Like, I took my Kindle with me to Vegas. I had 2 6-hour flights. I didn't touch it once. Like, I felt, like, allergic to it. But yesterday, I finally sat back down. And I think reading this Lucy Square book will then get me back in, and I'll go back to the Midnight Library. I'm also in the middle of Mindy Kaling's memoir, which is not good, which is crazy because I fucking love her. And what I love most about her is her writing. It's not even so much like her acting or her producing. It's really her writing. It just feels very like I'm writing a book because I just have nothing to say. But I, yeah.
At the end of the rainbow.
Yeah. So it's definitely something I want to keep on my Kindle for, like, you know, if I finish a book and I'm on a plane and I don't have service, okay, I can read this memoir. I'm not going to finish it right now. Like, I'm not going to choose it on Tuesday, you know?
Ooh. I also was not feeling my Kindle. It took me 3 weeks to read the last book. I think maybe more, actually. The last book I was reading, The Marriage Portrait, which I hated. But then I had to pick it back up to read for The Redheads. And that's why I'm so grateful to this Redheads book, because it sucked me right back in. And now I'm like, what are we reading next? Probably Good, City yeah. of Girls. But because I wasn't reading, I've been watching, like, I've been caught up on TV, like an episode a night. So last night I didn't read. I watched Summer House. Happy to chat about it. Though I don't feel as strongly as I did the last 2 weeks.
So I watched it this morning because I know that you watched it. So we'll do a little TV recap. I've also been not watching a lot of TV, but I have been, like, you know, investing time into this Murdaugh.
Right. Trial. If you want to recap it, I have to take my headphones off because I will be watching it.
Okay. Well, it's not like a spoiler because it's happening right now.
It's literally a spoiler for me because I don't know anything. Anything.
Okay. Take your headphones off. I have like 3 thoughts I want to share.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So I watched a documentary and I've been like keeping up with the trial. Obviously that freak did it. But to be completely honest, my initial thought when watching the documentary, and I know this is like, when watching the trial, and I know this is like not what it's about, but like, my God, Alec Murdaugh and his son Buster are two of the ugliest fucking people I've ever seen in my life, like inside and outside. The fact that like their whole family has been like murdering people in this small town for many years, especially like so many things about the documentary that aren't even being spoken about are making me so sad. Like, obviously right now he's on trial for the murder of his wife and his son, but like Mallory Beach, devastating. Stephen Smith, devastating. The housekeeper, not them literally like making money, like planning to kill this woman so that they can get $4 million from insurance. There's so many parts of this documentary and this whole story that are so layered, but I cannot get past the way people pronounce his name. Okay, it's Alex, A-L-E-X. Everyone was calling him Alec, which is just incorrect because there's an X. But also because they're Southern, they were calling him like Alec. And it's just like, I felt so confused during the documentary because I'm like, who the fuck are they talking about? I did feel very conflicted when it came to Paul. Like, I couldn't tell if he was like really evil or not. Like, what he did the night of Mallory's thing was so horrible and so unforgivable. But like, when you learn the background, he was like from this really fucked up family. And it seemed like maybe he was the only one with a conscience. And he drank so much to deal with that. Like, knowing that his family up until this point, they killed Gloria. They killed Stephen Smith. Like, I don't know. I feel conflicted about Paul because I'm so angry when I was watching the Mallory Beach thing. Like, the way the family covered it up and his brother towed the boat, even though it was a crime scene and nobody cared from the Murdaugh family if Mallory was alive. Like, to me, Mallory was such a tragedy. And it was Paul's fault. So that was like an interesting balance to work through. But I don't really feel like Alec, what I've been like seeing from the trial, I don't really feel like he's going to get convicted, because at this point, like, the most damning evidence is the Snapchat video. What's so crazy is all the Snapchats in the documentary. There were so many Snapchats. I watched a Netflix documentary, by the way, not the Hulu one. So they have this video, even though Paul said he was visiting his parents the hour before he came home and found his wife and son murdered. They have this video of him clearly at the property by the kennels, like exactly where they were found. So while that's really damning, it's not concrete proof. And he admitted to lying, saying he was not visiting his parents. He just like lied and then decided to run with it. I don't know why. So while that also all makes him look really, really guilty, there's no like DNA. And honestly, like, as an outsider, we're all like, oh my God, he's obviously guilty. But when you get on the jury, I feel like they play with your emotions. Like, I could see some of these jury members like not like buying. I could see a lot of them buying what he's selling because he's getting on the stand and he's crying. But what's so crazy, and I read this in the Daily Mail yesterday, I just feel like the type of family that they were, where it's like they had law enforcement in their pockets and they ran this town. I feel like that shit only happens in movies. Like, I didn't think that was actually a thing, but with this family, it was. Like, they really did own law enforcement, the courts, so much so that the courtroom that they're currently being tried in had a portrait of Alec Murdaugh's grandfather, who started this whole thing, had a portrait of him. It had to be taken down for obvious reasons, but like, that's how deep this goes. And I just didn't think shit like that really existed. Like, I really thought that was stuff that only happened in like books and movies. So that was interesting. I also found a lot of the dynamics in the documentary about the different kids, you know, like Miley and Morgan and Anthony, Mallory's girlfriend, and Connor, the one who they tried to frame. I found those dynamics to be really interesting. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think it's very clear whether he's like going to be convicted or not. I obviously think he did that shit. And my God, this was just like my first thought when I watched a documentary, when I was seeing Buster and Alec, I'm like, this is the big swindling, you know, high rolling. These people look like fucking clowns. Like, that was my first thought. All right, Jax, I'm done. Look alive. I'm done. Put your headphones back on. She's coming, being slow. Take longer.
Hello,
you hear me now?
Turdy.
Okay, so I gave my recap. Once you watch a doc, I'd love to get your thoughts.
Of course. I just got to carve out some time.
And we'll do a Summer House recap at the end. I did watch as well.
Great.
Okay, good. If that's all.
I believe it is all we need to share before we dive in to the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five stories that you need to know are brought to you by Caraway, Jackie's absolute favorite.
My favorite. It was on my story. It's on my stories every night that, and every day I show myself cooking, but I was using it last night. And every time I use it, I am just marveled at the science of the nonstick while also not having toxic chemicals. Because for a while, we all used nonstick pans, and then we found out that they were toxic and terrible for us. But Caraway gives us all the ease of nonstick with none of the toxins. It's so gorgeous, and you got to get it.
Get to cooking with the non-toxic kitchenware so you can ditch the chemicals and make healthier cooking a piece of cake.
That's what I said.
With our exclusive discount, you can now save on the full suite of Caraway products, including food storage, the tea kettle, the mini cookware.
Tea kettle.
Their internet famous cookware set is a staple from any home, and it comes in multiple colors to fit with any design aesthetic. Their non-toxic kitchenwares are all designed for the modern home, and they feature a chemical-free ceramic coating. Food can be prepared with peace of mind that no hard-to-pronounce chemical compound is going to leach into your healthy ingredients.
That's what I said.
All sets come equipped with easy access storage solutions so that no stacking is required. Gone are the days of misplacing your lids.
Turdy, that's so what you need for your chili, and you won't be covered in plastic.
We made the chili in Caraway, but we stored it not in Caraway, and that's why I got screwed.
That's why she got screwed.
Visit carawayhome.com/toast10 to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusive to our listeners, so visit carawayhome.com/toast10 or just use code toast10 at checkout. Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern. Today's episode is also brought to you by Seed. Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic is a plant-based prebiotic and probiotic with 24 strain that have been clinically and or scientifically studied for its benefits. So their symbiotic is free from 14 classes of allergens. It's defined that are defined by the EFSA. So whatever reason you want to start nurturing your gut microbiome, there are so many. It's important to support your resilient immune system. Especially in the fall and winter months, immunity is on the top of everyone's mind. But what often gets missed in the oversaturation of anti-cold and anti-flu messaging is the role that your gut microbiome plays in your health. So take two of these capsules once a day on an empty stomach. So it can be the first thing in the morning, 30 minutes before your first meal. It is engineered to survive your external and internal environments. So they're capsule and capsule via cap safeguards. Viability, ensure viability through digestion for delivery of an average of 100% of their probiotic starting dose to your colon. The outer capsule also serves as an elegant barrier to oxygen, moisture, and heat. So there's no refrigeration necessary. So here are some of the benefits. Obviously, digestive health, you know, BSDs. We love a big soft duty over here. It also has a lot of skin benefits, like for your skin health. They have four specific probiotic strains that have been shown to promote healthy skin and reinforce a healthy gut skin access. Also, heart health is another benefit. It maintains the blood cholesterol levels already in the normal range, and it supports healthy intestinal recycling of cholesterol and bile. So avoid gut mania and head to the trusted sources for symbiotics. Start a healthy habit today. Visit seed.com/toast and use code toast to redeem 20% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. That's seed, seed.com/toast, and use code toast, TOAST.
Thank you, Turdy. Two great sponsors today. Love them both.
You love to see it.
Our first story, some romance news that we have to dissect down to the studs. Shawn Mendes and Sabrina Carpenter step out together amid dating rumors. Shawn Mendes was spotted out and about with Sabrina Carpenter on Saturday amid rumors that they had been seeing each other romantically. The couple looked smitten as they embraced the cooler weather in LA while out running errands together. Shawn donned a pair of blue corduroy pants and a white t-shirt and a shirling lined jacket for the outing, while Sabrina kept things casual in an oversized black sweatsuit and sneakers.
Yeah, I will say, like, I'm obsessed, but her outfit, like, does make me feel like this is not a romantic thing, because it would have to be early, and you only start dressing like the way she's dressing when you're 10 years married. Like, that's literally the only thing that's making me, like, it's a perfect couple.
Agreed.
It is the perfect
couple. I have the opposite opinion. Her outfit is the only thing making me think that maybe this is real and not just PR. Because if it was PR, obviously they knew that the paparazzi were going. I feel like every relationship that Shawn Mendes is in, except eventually I did believe him and Camila were real.
Yeah, same. Because
they were together for 20 years. Every relationship that he's in, especially when he's like spotted and in this stage, like, it's always PR with Shawn Mendes. It just always
so
is.
So true.
And he's such a great PR boyfriend because he's so successful and he's so cute and handsome. And like, okay, I'll go out to lunch with Shawn Mendes for a couple more Instagram followers. Why not?
Okay, I'll go to the Met Gala with Shawn Mendes and pretend to be dating. That was fucking weird.
Right. So, and I think Sabrina Carpenter is definitely in her PR era. Like, I don't think she's above this right now. I don't think she's below this right now. Like,
she's perfect for it.
And why not? Coffee with Shawn Mendes? Get a couple pics taken, get a little buzz. Oh, worst case scenario, we fall in love. Like, I think this is beautiful. The publicists, they did amazing here. They really did. But
I agree.
If she knew that they were stepping out just to get photographed, I think she would have dressed a little more polished. So I think maybe there's a chance it's real. I pray. Yeah,
I love this.
You can only pray.
For both of them. Like, I think for him, I love Sabrina Carpenter. I think she's like extremely talented, really beautiful. I think she's got a great personality. Like, I think she's a great girl for him. And for her, I love this because up until this point, her romantic narrative has been this dumb fucking teenage love triangle between Joshua Bassett, Olivia Rodrigo, where she really did not come out on top. Like, she got dragged. So the fact that she could end this whole saga dating literally the most eligible man in the world, I don't know who I love this more for, her or him.
I really hope that they can find some common ground and stay together for a while. And even if this is PR, I hope we get more than just this and we get like events, you know, red carpet. I want to see full looks. I want to see Instagram pics. Like, keep going with it. This is so gorgeous and fun and harmless. That's why I love a PR relationship. It's really harmless.
Agreed. And it's only harmless if it's like fraudulent and we got ourselves like so invested.
But I'm going into this with a shrewd eye because I've been burned before.
Yeah, no, but I'm obsessed.
And it's like, if he kind of is similar vibes to Joshua Bassett, except just like on a bigger level.
Not at all.
No, Claudia, if aliens came down, they couldn't tell the two apart.
No, I think especially like personality wise, I think not at all.
Okay, from my older person's perch, where I don't know their personalities.
Wrong.
Like, they're both like handsome, brunette, teeny bopping singers.
They literally couldn't be more different. I feel like Shawn Mendes is such like an alpha. And I think Joshua Bassett's like a beta.
I don't know if
Joshua Bassett looks like he's in the Joshua Bassett looks like he's in the 10th grade.
Okay, and Shawn Mendes looks like he's a senior. But they go to the same high school.
Thank you.
And
proving my point.
They go to the same high school and they take the same classes. So like I said,
my point.
He's like Joshua Bassett on a bigger level.
No, I don't agree with the comparison whatsoever.
Okay.
Agree to disagree.
Like it's not a total deviation for her.
Okay, in terms of like hair color, sure.
And career and like just...
Oh, please. The careers couldn't be more different.
Career interests, Wenchie.
Joshua Bassett wishes. You're really being complimentary to Joshua Bassett right now.
Yeah, Joshua Bassett wishes. But like Shawn Mendes is like, you know, what he aspires to be. So she just like took, you know, she's in...
When you order it online versus when it comes in the mail.
Sure, sure, sure. I'm just saying, like, what was I saying?
That it's not like a big leap, I think?
No, that it's... I don't know what I was saying.
Okay.
That he's her type?
That makes two of us.
That he's her type. I don't know where what I said like 5 minutes ago, but maybe that just that he's her type.
Like curly-headed singers.
Yeah, like...
I understand what you're saying, but I think they're so different.
Okay. So I'm praying, you know, I'll keep these two in my thoughts, that they stay... If it's PR, that they stay doing this, and if it's real, that they stay doing this. Either way, stay doing this.
Wait, this is so random, but did you see, like, over the weekend, Sabrina, you definitely didn't see this, Sabrina Carpenter, like, got herself in, like, a little bit of, like, drama.
What's the drama?
So she did the BBC Live Lounge. You know that thing where, like, you cover other people's songs?
Yeah.
Or you sing your own songs and it's, like, really stripped down?
Yeah.
So she has a song, I think it's called Nonsense. Don't you wanna wear your clothes up, pop quiz? You know that one?
No.
Oh, it's like gone viral and it's like really big. And whenever she performs it live at the very end, it's not a verse, but like she like sings at the end of the song.
Your favorite.
Yeah. And wherever she goes, she changes it. Cause when she's in New York, she's like, I'm in New York. I love New York City. Like whatever. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And so for the BBC performance, she's like, I am doing it's a BBC. And then she said like, I'm in America where I'm from. BBC stands for something different.
What does it stand for?
I think what she meant was big black cock.
No.
Yeah, I'm like fairly certain. And so like the video got taken down. Like what? It was deemed inappropriate by BBC.
Oh my God. But like,
I don't think that I never got confirmation that's what she meant. But like what else could it have meant?
Okay, I'm on. I just searched BBC Urban Dictionary. Obviously yeah. First, British Broadcasting Company. Next, bitches be crazy. Next, big black cock.
I believe that's what she was referring to, and that's why it was taken down for, like, it said inappropriate whatever. But I was like, okay, Sabrina Carpenter out here being wild. Like, I just didn't expect that from a Disney queen.
That's so, like, interesting. And do you really think that's what she meant?
I don't know, but now we're all talking about Shawn Mendes. Like, maybe this is, like, an actual PR thing. So because this BBC thing, like, didn't really blow up. But I'm a freak who saw it.
That is hysterical.
Yeah.
Okay, go Sabrina. She's really doing, like, she's being so awesome right now. And
she's firing on all cylinders.
Fashion, music, touring, Instagram glam. Pictures. Like, it's just a joy to follow her.
I agree. I'm, like, in my Sabrina era.
I've been in my Sabrina era for, like, 7 years. And finally, this is, like, something that I love that's paying off. You know, it usually goes the opposite way for me. Little Mix, yeah. Dissolved, shows canceled.
Sabrina's. Anyone Jackie loves, like, ultimately, like, gets canceled.
Stalls. Oh, gets canceled for sure.
Yeah, like, either they get canceled, their show gets canceled, their career ends, something. Like, just know, if you're a celebrity and my sister Jackie is a fan of yours, like, your career is going nowhere.
So true.
It's the kiss of death when Jackie O becomes obsessed with you.
It's so true. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Or maybe I'm just, it's not me being, it's not like I'm a curse. It's just like, I like things that have no place in our culture.
Maybe you have bad taste.
No, but I don't think like the culture is filled with good taste.
So I would just agree with that.
We're incongruous.
That's fair. You're loving the congruent incongruous today.
I told you, it's always a word of the week here at the Toast. And I think being congruent or incongruent is germane to my situation.
It's a gorgeous word. I like it.
No, because
I like it. Yeah.
Are you ready for our next story? Some happy news.
Yes.
Kiki Palmer gives birth, welcomed her first baby, a boy, with her boyfriend, Darius Jackson. Kiki Palmer and Darius Jackson's first baby has arrived. The actress gave birth.
I wish she named her baby True.
Of course, everyone did. But instead, they named him Leotis Andrelton Jackson, lovingly nicknamed Leo.
Cute.
And she gave birth on Saturday.
I also loved her announcement. Like, no muss, no fuss. Mom, baby. We got baby gender. Name. We got gender. We got a picture of the baby in the hospital. She didn't, you know, no drama.
No, she's not one for drama.
No, I love her. I'm so happy for her.
So happy for her. I hope she enjoys this time. You know what time I've been enjoying? Speaking of new mamas. Mm. Molly Mae.
I told you you would.
The way Molly Mae took over my day.
Oh, did she?
What can I say? I love Molly Mae.
Except you're welcome. So also just a quick update from yesterday, since we were like still kind of learning. Molly Mae and Tommy Fury are not married. So I said that they were married. They have a baby together and they're like in a relationship. They're just not married. And Tommy's boxing career, he went on Love Island as the brother of a very famous boxer.
So he's Jordan Rogers.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Except then it would be like if Jordan Rogers then went into football and had a pretty good career.
Yeah. So Love Island was like a great career boost for him.
And Jordan and Aaron still spoke.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's so, still so weird.
So weird. But that's, I'm obsessed. I actually, I don't know if I will. I don't know if I have the time, but I'm interested in watching their season of Love Island now, especially because like Love Island UK is amazing. And I know that if I watched it, like I would be obsessed. I just like don't have the bandwidth to become obsessed with something else.
I know.
But I have the bandwidth to become obsessed with a couple that I follow on Instagram and then just want to do a deep dive on.
I know. And you could like skip through the other parts.
Oh, yeah. The other people.
Yeah.
Irrelevant. Except like apparently her best friend, Maura, who was the one who filmed the video of Molly in bed, like waiting to hear the result of the fight, is from Love Island. Mm. So female
That's
friendship.
Cute. That's
we
cute.
Love it.
We love.
Love.
What was the story? Oh, Kiki Palmer. I'm so happy for her. I feel like she's also so funny and I think she'd have like a really fresh take on motherhood, and like I mm-hmm. look forward to the content and the interviews because she's just so funny.
Yeah, and she's very honest, so yeah. I feel like she'll be able to relate to a lot of women out there.
I agree,
and a lot of women will be able to relate to her.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our next story?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Rock will finally hit back at Will Smith's Oscar slap and first ever live stream Netflix stand-up special a week before the Academy Awards after maintaining the silence for nearly a year. So Chris Rock will finally address the slap nearly a year later as he prepares for his upcoming Netflix special. The show, which is titled Chris Rock, Selective Outrage, will be the first ever live stream broadcast by the streaming service when it airs on March 4th at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. That's exciting.
That's very cool.
Very cool. He will also be joined by Amy Schumer, Jerry Seinfeld, and Leslie Jones during the performance. A source told Page Six, if you were waiting to see Chris on tour address the infamous Will Smith slap situation, the comedian is waiting to spill his humorous take on it in his live Netflix special.
I feel like from like a PR standpoint, they're like pushing that he's going to be talking. I feel like he's going to talk about it very little, honestly. Like
very,
I just think they're,
oh, yeah.
I think they're using it as like clickbait, but it sounds like it's like a full Netflix like festival. Like there's other enormous comedians. I don't know. I just feel like they're using it as clickbait and it's like not going to be that much.
No,
like
maybe it's his special because it's Chris Rock, Selective Outrage. I think he brings on other people. I think it's what he's been touring with for the last year. And so he's doing his set, which included stuff about the Chris the Will Smith slap, and that will be in there if you want to hear him talk about it. I don't think it's going to be start to finish just like his thoughts on the slap. I think there'll be a couple jokes about it and we'll move on because I think that's how most people feel about it. And I'm sure Chris in particular, he's doing this historic first live Netflix show. He's not going to spend the whole time talking about it.
Yeah, I do like the title.
Me too.
Because Selective Outrage is real.
Very.
I think I want to watch this. I'm sure you'll be able to watch it if you can't catch it live, right? Like,
yeah, I'm sure it'll be on Netflix after. I wonder, I mean, it's so cool to do something live, but like, why do it live when you can, you know, record it and edit it and make it perfect?
I think when you're at like the top of your game, like Chris Rock, like you get the opportunity to like do things for the first time that nobody's done. Like you want to do it.
You want to challenge yourself.
And I'm sure Netflix pays you more.
Yeah. This could be a cool trend because now I'm like, I want to set my alarm 9:30 March 4th. Like I'll be there.
A live event with no commercials. That's cool. I like that.
And it's kind of something that we could all be a part of. You know, it's been a while since we all watched the same thing at the same time.
It's been, no, the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl. And that, and how fun was that, Turdy?
Oh my God, we talked about it for days on end. Like, I miss it. Take me back.
I seriously miss it. You saw Kylie Kelce had her baby, like not even close to the date of the Super Bowl.
No, I didn't even see that.
I think it was like 2 weeks later.
So cute.
So cute.
And this weekend is Travis Kelce and Kelce Ballerini on SNL.
Another event that we can all come together for.
Yes. Yes.
Country girlies and football fans. It's kind of like us.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm excited for that. I should, yeah. Okay. Not that I had plans, but I'll keep myself available.
I hope Kelce, is it a sketch?
I hope so too. SNL's on too late for me. I'll be watching it on Sunday. It's so late. I used to wait up sometimes, but no. Because I couldn't get to the start time, let alone watch it.
Right. No, it's like 11:35. Cannot come fast enough.
Yeah. So I'll catch it on Sunday. I'm excited.
And you know, when I was on tour, I actually remember I was in, I don't know where I was, but I was in Central Time. So I had Saturday.
It was more humane.
It was after my show and I get home at like 10:30 and it started. I'm like, how delightful is this? I watched SNL and went to bed. Central Time is low-key lit.
Yeah. So do people in LA get to watch it at 8:30?
I don't know if it's live in LA. I know it's live in Central Time. I don't know if it's live in Pacific Time.
That's a weird thing about the West Coast. It's like
The Bachelor.
Game of Thrones. Remember that?
Right. It didn't air. I'm pretty sure like it doesn't air.
Until the time.
I feel like they always say like 8:07 Central Time. Right. So they it's live on Central and Eastern, but not on Pacific. That sucks. But I will say there's a lot of things that really rock about being on LA time. Mm-hmm. Like award shows. Like we go to bed at midnight. Award shows, they're done at 8.
Unreal.
Also, if you work with a lot of people in New York, like you obviously you don't have to wake up at 5 a.m., but like at 9, they're already having lunch. And then by 3, they're done.
2, 3. It's true, but people who like work serious jobs on the West Coast that interface with New York do get up and start their day at 5 a.m.
They do. You're right.
Yeah, and they go to sleep at like 7 o'clock.
That sucks.
It's crazy.
Time is so interesting.
The whole afternoon surfs up, man, you know?
Surfs up.
It's just a different lifestyle. I wish I could be someone who could wake up early. That's why I'll never be a true success.
No.
Because I can't wake up earlier than I absolutely have to.
I actually don't agree with that. And I don't know if you remember this, but I've seen this clip go viral like 1,000 times when Elon Musk was on Joe Rogan and they were talking about sleep. Joe was like, how many hours of sleep do you get? And Elon's like, 7, like, you know. And Joe's like, oh, you don't like wake up at 4 and like, you know, do an 8-hour regimen before. And he's like, no, like I tried that whole thing, like getting less sleep. And it's like, okay, yeah, you have more hours in the day, but you're functioning moronically. Like people need sleep. And hearing it come from someone who's like the richest, most successful, I was like, okay, good. Because I want to be successful and I feel like I am successful and I try and work as much as I can. But like, bitch, I'm fucking going to sleep and I'm not waking up at 5.
But what time does Elon wake up? Because like he could get 7 hours of sleep because he goes to bed at 10 and wakes up at 5.
No, it wasn't crazy. Like he set his schedule and it was fucking normal. But then it's like, you ever read those articles? Mark Wahlberg gets up at 4, does a workout, has breakfast, does a workout again, showers, prays, and then start his day.
Yeah. No, I was just listening to Kevin O'Leary talk about his morning. He gets up at 4:45. I'm sorry. Like, but it's not because he's like pushing himself to just like some people wake up early. Like I can't relate. I seriously
can't.
Okay,
some people wake up early, but also there is that like toxic hustle culture where it's like you are not achieving your highest level of productivity if you wake up before 6, after 6. Like, bitch, I don't fucking believe that.
No, I don't believe that either. But I also, you know, numbers are numbers. If I had more hours in the day, like if I was
up. But you might be functioning at a lower level of productivity.
I know, but I've also found that no matter how much sleep I get, a gorgeous amount, or a little amount, like
it's true.
I'm just a tired bitch.
I know. I would love to do like a full sleep study done on myself. Like I feel like I get a lot of sleep. I always feel like crap. I always wake up feeling like I've actually been hit by a truck. I would love, I don't know if that's like a thing, but like I would love to be studied, you know?
They should study you.
100%. You never met a bitch who gets more sleep.
Is it too much sleep?
I do believe at one point, yes, I was getting too much sleep, like because really I would try and wake up as late as possible for the toast. Mm-hmm. So I was getting like 10 hours every night.
Beautiful.
And And now, and I really wasn't feeling good. Now I'm in a place where I like to wake up now earlier for the toast. I'm not rushed. I take it slow. I can watch Summer House before, like if I didn't get, you know, I could just catch up on stuff. And now I'm getting about 8 and it does feel better.
Yeah, I get about 8. My sleep the past few days has been crap. I'm having like a sleep issue. I don't know how to physically sleep without fucking up my back. The way I sleep, my shoulders are at my mouth. Like I sleep like...
That's crazy.
Very, like my one arm goes under my pillow. I sleep on my side. One arm's under my pillow. So my shoulder's up and the other arm covers my mouth. And then I
wake up... Are you on your back?
Side.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know...
How actually, do I relax my shoulders? I literally don't know how, but like my
back... Where is your head? Where is your head?
On my pillow and my arm is under my pillow.
Okay, so I actually experienced something a few years ago that totally changed my sleep because, and a lot of people do it, basically putting the weight of their head on their arms and shoulders. Your head weighs like 25 pounds.
Okay.
And I woke up one morning with such a broken arm for weeks. It never went away until I really, like I Googled it. I was like, oh my God, I do... Putting that much weight on your arms for 8 hours is bad. Like, you really cannot put your head... You have to think about the weight of your head. It's really bad for you.
Okay, so how do I sleep?
I don't... Put your arms down, bitch.
I literally... Like, I try and put my shoulders down, and I literally can't. Like, I live perpetually with my shoulders at my ears. Like, that's just...
That's not good.
How I am. That's how I carry myself.
A lot of tension. And you know what I'm really struggling with?
I'm holding a lot of tension.
I would love somebody to help me with this so I don't have to go to the doctor. I have the craziest fucking tension in my jaw. Like, I wake up clenched. And now it's to the point where throughout the day, like right now, I'm holding so much tension in my bottom teeth. I'm dying to bite down. Like, it's literally a 24/7 thing now.
Yeah, sometimes when I'm going to sleep, I had to unclench my jaw. I forget, my teeth were grinding. So it was something and sometimes when I'm going to sleep, I like think about my jaw and I just open my mouth.
And it's like, oh my God, calm down.
I know, but you get so used to clenching because you don't want to smell your own breath.
Oh, that's not why I clench.
That's why I clench.
Wait, how do you smell your own breath?
Like, I don't want to be breathing. Keep that mouth shut.
You should tape your mouth. That's what Lauren Bostic does. I've actually been thinking about doing that.
I don't know. I think that would cause more clenching for me. I need to open my mouth and let the spiders in.
No, but if you're also an open mouth sleeper, that's why you wake up with like a dry throat or like a sore throat. I need to close my mouth.
But here's the thing. It's like you close your mouth, you got jaw tension, TMJ. You open your mouth, you got a dry throat. There's no fucking winning anywhere.
No, so true.
Everything is problematic.
Thus, bringing me back to my point, I need a sleep study.
I need a sleep like diagram to show me healthy ways to sleep where I won't feel like I was before I got out of bed yesterday. I was sitting on the edge of my bed, like you know how old people like sit on the bed before they get up and then they like get up with every limb. That was me. Yeah. And like now when I get out of bed, I have to like, I have like creaks. I got creaks, Claude.
You're crickety cracking.
Crickety cracking. So that's something that's I've noticed so funny about myself that I'm working on.
Okay, good.
Are you ready for our next story?
If it's the story that's brought to you by Rocket Money. Do you know how much your subscriptions cost? Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month in subscriptions when the actual cost is closer to $200. If you don't exactly know how much you're spending every month, you need Rocket Money. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about, like that streaming service you bought just to watch one show, that free trial you never even used. Rocket Money will quickly and easily identify your subscriptions for you so you can stop paying for the ones that you do not want. Simply find the subscription you don't want and press cancel. Rocket Money will cancel it for you. There's no long hold times with customer service, no tedious emailing back and forth. Rocket Money makes canceling subscriptions as easy as the click of a button. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. Okay, I did it. And let me tell you how depressed I was realizing how many, especially for the toast, like I try all these different services, like, and it's so moronic. And it was actually really upsetting to see it all in one place. But I felt like this huge weight off of me. And I feel like I love that it keeps monitoring it for me. So it's not going to get to a place again where it's a million subscriptions that you don't even use. Stop throwing away your money, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/toast. That's rocketmoney.com/toast. rocketmoney.com/TOAST.
Thank you, Turdy.
You're welcome.
Next story. Hillary Duff explains why she didn't want to be Lizzie McGuire anymore after the breakout show ended. The Disney Channel alum admitted she really didn't want to be Lizzie McGuire anymore, as cool as it was after her breakout show ended in 2004. She explained while discussing growing up in the public eye on her pal Josh Peck and Ben Soffer's Good Guys podcast, quote, "For so long, people were just like, Lizzie, Lizzie, Lizzie. And still now to this day, which it doesn't bother me anymore, but it did for a while, I just desperately needed to be my own person. I think that I thought music was going to be a good way to introduce myself, reintroduce myself, and it was." So it was. She talks about how transitioning into music helped her become more Hillary than Lizzie. And now, you know, she thinks about going back to the music department. She definitely wants to do more of that when she has the time. She thinks that she will. I just don't know. Right now, I barely have enough time to give to my three children I decided to bring into the world.
Yeah. And by the way, her husband is like a big music producer. He's one of the producers on Pink's new album.
Matthew Coma. So
she said, like, I literally have like a genius in my house.
I forgot she's married to Matthew Coma.
I know. I thought the conversation between her and Josh about like being that like nostalgic kind of icon for young kids was really interesting, because it's this never ending balance of wanting to be yourself, but also not wanting to appear rude or ungrateful for like the impact you had on people and the opportunity that you were given. But like at some point, like you have to put yourself forward. And he's like, I think that's really like something most people who like rise to fame in a like a kid's type of way struggle with, because you have your whole life ahead of you and you want to have a career with different roles and opportunities. But if everybody's always thinking of you as this one thing, it can be so limiting. So you want to shake it off, but then you can appear to be like, you know, ungrateful and almost like, what's the word I'm looking for with an R? Resentful.
Yeah.
So it was a very good, like healthy conversation and like very honest.
Yeah, and I feel like, even looking back on it, like, she did such a good job of transitioning out of Lizzie, but I do remember there being a small period, and not as big as, you know, Hannah to Miley, which I feel like took many years. There was, like, a small period where she's like, I'm not Lizzie. And yeah. But Hillary stuck really quickly because she had some really great roles. She put out really great music, and we're like, it's the season of Hillary.
Also, what she said was interesting was that they only filmed Lizzie McGuire for 2 years, because they filmed, it's only two seasons, but they did 30 episodes every season. And then Disney, at their own discretion, would release them. So for her, it was 2 years of her life, but it took much longer to release. So she's like, I'm being like known for this thing that wasn't even a big part of my life. Like, I did this for 2 years, even though for us, it was like five.
Yeah.
Also, what I thought was really interesting is like, she considers like the scary part of her career. Excuse me, I have to sneeze. No, I don't. Yeah, I do.
Excuse me.
Before she booked Younger, to have been like this kind of like questionable, she was like, I didn't know if I would ever work again. Like, I was like, I kind of took a break to have kids, and then like when I was ready to come back, it wasn't like it was before. And I don't even think of that, but I guess, yeah, like what was she doing before Younger?
I do think of that. Even when we were talking at the top of the show, the way that I remember it is like, she joined the show Younger. When we were working at AOL, the whole cast like came to do that interview. And I remember being like, it was kind of weird that Hillary Duff was joining this like random new show. Like,
yeah,
fun fact, TV Land. Hillary Duff is on it. I feel like the success of Younger, though, really propelled her forward. If Younger had kind of stalled and like not been as big of a show as it was, which is very possible. It was on TV Land. Like,
no, it was not meant to be successful. Like, why the fuck was it on TV Land?
It was not meant to be as successful as it was.
Yeah.
I think that that gave her like a whole new renewed career. But if I thought about it long enough, I would have come to the same conclusion that that was really the kind of lull in her career. Now it makes sense. She was having her kids and she came back. And I remember feeling like, oh, Hillary Duff is on this show.
Yeah.
But it turned out to be such an amazing show. And she was so great on it that it's just been like a rocket ship since there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there was, I never really put in perspective how like that was like a huge thing for her. I thought she was doing them a favor.
Yeah, no, it was mutually risky.
Yeah.
I got to listen to the whole episode because the clips that I've seen are awesome. She sounds
She's so pretty. Oh my God. She looks so good.
And she just has such a nice voice to listen to.
Yeah, and she like really thought Ben and Josh were like psychotic. Like, it was really funny to watch. She's very mellow.
Yeah.
They are not. I don't want to spoil like a million things from the episode, but Josh shared like kind of a crazy fucking fact.
I'm listening.
Did you know that at one point, Josh Peck was invited to the Met Gala and he didn't go?
Why was he invited and why didn't he go?
He didn't elaborate. He just says, like, his it's one of the things his wife never lets him live down.
When was he invited?
Years ago.
Like Drake and Josh?
No.
Like how many years?
He didn't say.
And why didn't he go?
He didn't say either.
Okay, now I have to listen, even though he didn't say.
They have to do a follow-up episode, like just about that.
Just about Josh and the Met Gala.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Because Hillary was saying how she got invited this year to Vanity Fair Oscar party, which is like, she's like basically saying she's in this like great season because like, look. And Josh was like, wow, I've never gotten invited to that, but I did get invited to the Met Gala.
Ah, that Vanity Fair really, party is cool.
Yeah, very cool. Very prestigious.
Yeah, cool pictures.
Totally.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Yeah.
Because Tom Brady's kind of coming for Turdy's throat.
For Turdy's throat?
For Turdy's throat.
What is he doing now?
Tom Brady is trying to launch a career as a comic in a last-ditch effort to win his ex-wife Giselle back. Now, I just want to say,
what?
This is coming from the Daily Mail that is getting it from Radar Online. But apparently, okay. Tom Brady's inner circle is apparently trying to talk him out of an attempt to launch a career in stand-up comedy to win back his ex-wife Giselle.
I thought he has a new girlfriend. Why would he want Giselle back?
I don't know. Not they're saying that he's trying to get Giselle back. He has a deal for ESPN or Fox Sports, a deal, a 10-year deal that he put on pause for $375 million.
Oh, my God.
That he hasn't, like, picking up yet. He said he wants a break from football. Okay. Rumors. These are all the rumors that they're saying. That he wants a break from football in order to win back Giselle. And I guess she'll be attracted to him if he's a comedian instead.
Honestly, if he's good, maybe she'll be attracted to him. But if he's bad, she'll get the ick on another level.
Yeah. This seems like inconceivable. So according to Radar Online, the recently retired quarterback wants to try his hand as a comic in a last-ditch attempt to reunite with his supermodel ex. They divorced last October following 13 years of marriage that coincided with his decision to unretire. But Tom's people are not encouraging his new path. A source is quoted by Radar Online as saying, Tom was a terrific quarterback, but he needs to toss this idea before it's too late. As a comic, he's strictly a water boy. But that said, there were some compliments for his sense of humor. Apparently, quote, he does a great impression of former teammate Rob Gronkowski, and his over-the-top Boston accent is hilarious.
Honestly, I don't think one part of this story is true, but let's entertain it for a minute.
But it's like, where did this... This is so unbelievable. Like, and
it's
I don't
so
think
inconceivable.
It's true. Where the fuck did it come from?
I don't know. And I'm sure, you know, if Tom Brady wanted to, like, he could really... probably meet with the best of the best, you know, get a lesson in comedy from Jerry Seinfeld, like literally whoever he wanted. But at the end of the day, and let's just say this is true, like at the end of the day, stand-up comedy is like either something you have or you don't have. You can get better and you can improve your skills, but if you don't have it, you're never gonna have it. And I feel like Tom Brady doesn't have it because he has it when it comes to football.
You can't have
it all. I'm sorry.
You
can't have it all. You can't have it all.
I agree with that. I don't know where this is coming from. Like the fact that it's even here, like makes me consider it because like.
No, I know. Because it's so random.
Of all the things he could try his hand at, in a million years, I would never guess comedy.
I thought like, honestly, I could see him honestly trying to be like a pro golfer. Honestly, I could see that.
Yeah. Or like. Wanting to host SNL and do stand-up monologue and like that's him trying his hand at stand-up. Kind of like when Kim
or like acting.
She got all the people, the fellow comedians to give her some tips and she gave it a shot. What? There's no way he's, you know, going to the Comedy Cellar open mic night. There's just no fucking way.
No, oh my God, stop. I actually would love to see that though. Imagine he comes out and he's fucking hysterical.
It's impossible. That's just like
it's impossible.
Not, you don't get that many cards.
It's not how the world works. It's not how God works.
No. I don't know. No. But there are some people who are like just excel.
Multi-talented.
Yeah.
Hello.
Turdy.
Triple threat. Comedy. Singer. Dancer. Model.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, we'll keep an eye out for that one.
Yeah. Let's talk about Summer House. You and I both watched the new episode last night. Carl and Lindsay were not in it. And honestly, like it was a little boring.
Yep. It was because they're the whole show.
They're the whole show. I will say I did see Danielle's side a little bit more. However, I also watched her on Watch What Happens Live. And so her and Lindsay are no longer friends, which is so crazy.
So crazy. It made me really sad, even though up until, you know, last week, I didn't care about their friendship. But she spoke about Lindsay with respect. So nothing really crazy happened, I felt. But it just made me sad. Like, I want their friendship back. Danielle was such a good friend to her.
I know. I'm dying to know what happens. I do believe it happens on camera, so.
Yeah, and it happens this summer because based on, I watched the first Watch What Happens Live up until the first commercial break, which I actually really enjoyed. I thought Gabby was so great. I liked her so much more on Watch What Happens Live than I like her on the show. Like, agreed. Even when she was talking about horoscopes, when she talks about them on the show, I'm like,
eye roll.
I don't care. But she was being like really funny about them in Watch What Happens Live. And the fact that she knew like all the celebrities and what their signs are, I'm like, this girl is like, this is her thing. Like, and I think that's cool. Even if it's not something I would choose to spend my time studying, like she really came off awesome.
I completely agree. I liked her so much. I kind of like found myself like being like rubbed the wrong way when it came to Danielle. Like, I feel like she's just like living for the fact that now everyone's talking about her for the first time in her career on this show. Her, you know, narrative is not being Lindsay's mouthpiece. She's actually at odds with Lindsay. And I feel like she was just like eating it up. Like anytime she was asked like a controversial question, she was like loving that she had something to say. And Andy was like, let's play a game now that you and Lindsay aren't friends. Like, do you regret defending Lindsay? Like, or do you think Lindsay, like he would ask her questions. Do you think Lindsay was wrong here? Do you regret defending her here? And it was like everything. She was like, yeah, she was wrong. Yeah, I regretted it. It's like, okay, so unscrupled.
Oh, interesting. I didn't get to that part because I thought the stuff in the first quarter of the episode was how you would speak about an ex-friend with respect. Like, she didn't have that many regrets. A few she did where she obviously could see that she was just like blinded by her friendship, but nothing crazy. Who knows?
Other than that, like, it was actually quite a boring episode, and I feel like it made a great case for Carl and Lindsay.
Yeah, they're the whole show.
They're the whole show. Like, that tea party was boring as fuck. Why are there literally two guys in this house?
I don't know. And all the girls are single. Like, why aren't we taking the opportunity to try and find love here?
It's so, and one of the guys is married.
Right.
And the other one can't get arrested.
Right. And everyone, like, flirts with him but doesn't actually like him.
Yeah, and they just have these, like, random guys coming in the house who we don't know. Yeah. Like, make them in the house. That guy, the boxer, he was cute as fuck. Like, let him be a castmate.
Yeah. And Chris's friend, Rob, throw him in the house.
Yeah. Literally anyone.
Just some guys. Throw him in.
Throw him in.
And you saw Maya and Oliver are broken up.
Yes. And so are Robert and Danielle.
Well, that I knew. And that makes me sad because they've been together a really long time.
Me too.
But I didn't know Maya and Oliver were broken up until this morning. And again, just the way that all the girls and the guys like behave on the show in their relationships outside of Carl and Lindsay, I just find like so, like, kind of
not serious.
So not serious. Like the way they're all like, oh, that's my boyfriend. He's your boyfriend. Like, where's my boyfriend? Like, everyone has like these fake affairs within the
and they like never spend the night.
No, and it's like, oh, Paige, Maya's in love with Craig and Paige is in love with Oliver. It's like,
that was weird.
Talk with my friends like how we're fake in love with each other's boyfriends.
No, that was weird. And that's how you like know that the Maya Oliver relationship wasn't serious, even though they were together for a year. And when she talked about it on Watch What Happens Live last week, like, it was bitter. Like, they did not end well.
Yeah, I saw a quote this morning that said that there were so many red flags that she didn't see. Trust the red flags. I want to know what happened. They broke up in September, so maybe something happens on the show. But she said even the way that they're acting on the show right now, like, he wasn't acting with red flags. So
right.
Then you broke up a month later. I don't know.
I did also really like how Sam was like really into that guy. And then he did one thing she didn't like and she like didn't sleep with him. Like, it was funny. I actually really like Sam.
What did he do?
He would just like, she was dancing on the table having so much fun. And he like was just being lame.
No. Okay. I agree. Like that she, you know, she obviously knows her mind, but I disagree with her theory that she wants someone as big and bright.
Agreed.
And loud
agreed.
As her. No, no, you don't, girl. You don't
you
want
need
someone
to shine.
Who, like, and you don't want someone who's going to get at dance on the tables with you and like compete for attention with you. Like, you are this like bright light. You're the star.
Agreed.
And you need someone who just like loves you and admires you and is going to be down there watching you being like, oh my God, I can't believe how lucky I am. Not someone up there with you.
Completely agree. Two like attention whores are explosive.
Yeah. No, and opposites attract in all senses.
Agreed. 100%.
You don't want like two extremely shy people together either.
You know what? I thought
someone that needs to send the order back to the restaurant when it's wrong.
So true, Ben Soffer. I thought that the conversation about Amanda and her birth control was so interesting.
Yeah.
It made me so sad for her. And I obviously, like, I keep up with her on social media. I've seen, especially last summer, where she looked so thin, and not a commentary on her weight, but almost like it wasn't, like it was spiraling, like she couldn't control it. And I feel so sad. I hope she went to a doctor.
I think she's going to a doctor like in the next few weeks on the show. I hope today she has like the answers that she needs as to what happened, but that was like very sad and alarming.
Yeah, and I have heard a lot of people I know who have been on birth control for a while having this problem when they get off of it and wanting to have children.
Yeah, I've not heard of this specifically. Like I've heard, you know, getting off of birth control, it's hard to regulate your period again. It could take a while to get pregnant. I've not heard of losing your period completely.
Oh, I have.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's really scary.
I know. And you know what? When I was watching it this morning, it reminded me of a conversation we had on The Toast last week about like things in our house that we just didn't do growing up. Mm-hmm. And we grew up in like a non-birth control house. Yeah. Like, none of us were ever on the pill.
Hormonal birth control.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So like when I would get older and like all my friends were on birth control, either they had bad periods or they had boyfriends, I was like, oh my, that's so crazy. Like we don't do that.
Yeah. But now that a lot of stuff has come out about birth control, and I think we're at an age where people are getting off of birth control and seeing kind of what happened and then starting to evaluate why they went on it in the first place. It's like, oh, if you're having painful periods, we shouldn't cover up that pain. Like we should address why it's so painful. Like people are finding out that they have endometriosis or now just finding out that they have PCOS when they're trying to get pregnant. Like I think we do like have a large audience of women here. And I think that's something that people should just be aware of. A lot of people are dealing with. And people don't realize until they get off of birth control, which is when you get off of birth control because you want to start having kids. Yeah. And then you have to kind of undo a lot of stuff. So I would just consider that because that was a really sad thing to hear.
I know. Oh, my God. And I feel like her voice was like cracking. Like she was so sad about it.
Yeah. I thought it really was like kind of crazy how Sam asked that question. Like she kind of like raw dog ripped the Band-Aid off. I'm sure.
I feel like a producer told her to.
I agree. I don't think it was like a her thing, but that's kind of like I thought we're beyond that, you know?
Yeah, no, it was like kind of insulting.
Yeah, but I think Amanda was ready to open up, you know, because she could have said, oh, we're not ready. Like, I'm just living life, you know?
Yeah.
So I think she maybe wanted to talk about it, but
yeah, it seemed like a setup because if it wasn't, it was fucking nuts.
Yeah, it just sort of came out of nowhere. Like, they were asking some, yeah, it was just, I don't know.
It was bizarre. So again, like not a really titillating episode, but Carl and Lindsay are back next week, so it should be good.
I miss them. I'm obsessed with them.
I kind of am too.
I'm obsessed. Like I just...
They're like so unbothered.
Yeah, and I also think just given how quickly they're moving in their relationship, they might have kids soon.
Yeah.
Because, and they kept comparing Carl and Amanda to Carl and Lindsay, and it's like, it's so fucking rude. It's like, who's going to have kids first? They said it on the show. And then they said, I'll watch what happens live. And it's like, especially after we just
heard
what we heard about Amanda, like, why are we playing this game on the show? But Lindsay is older than Amanda. They're moving, you know, Amanda and Carl dated for how many years before they got engaged? Lindsay and Carl.
Amanda and Kyle. You keep saying Carl.
I think you guys know what I mean, but okay. Yeah. It's hard. Like, the names are the same. Yeah, Amanda and Kyle dated for years before they got engaged. Lindsay and Carl dated for under a year and got engaged. I actually could see them having kids much sooner because they're really serious and she's older. So she has, even though she had the eggs of a 20-year-old.
Yeah, but she also does want kids because she had that pregnancy, remember, Winterhouse. So it's like, it's top of mind for her. I could see it too.
Yeah, so I hope that, I don't know. I hope they stay together and that it's real and that like, you know.
I think they will.
They're toxically into each other like for the right reasons.
I agree. But when they were doing the Watch Happens Live polls last night, like, I don't think people agree with us. Like, everyone, the audience, I think, is on team everyone, not on team Carl and Lindsay.
It's easy to be on team everyone. It makes you feel good. You're like, I'm normal. Everyone thinks like I do.
So true.
You
so
know,
true.
I we're understand just,
we're free,
it.
We're free thinkers.
I understand the impulse to just want to side with everyone. It's so much easier.
We're independent thought leaders.
100%.
So that's our show. It's a good one. I really enjoy talking to you, girl.
I always enjoy talking to you, Turdy, and I can't wait till we end the show and we FaceTime in 2 seconds to talk some more.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Toast of the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Toast, leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have a great day. It's Tuesday, and we'll see you tomorrow for Hump Day. Bye.
Love ya. Bye.